What song was that that we zoomed to? What is it?
Man, when I saw a picture of Sonya in a shirt that said, "Worship is my cardio," I about died.
Did you buy that shirt just for this,
Sonya? I love it.
I love it. That's awesome. All right, so now's your chance, guys. I don't know. Did you guys, BJ or Jody, did you guys have anything you wanted to start off with?
Still, I'm talked out. Go ahead.
Oh, you talked out?
Yeah.
No, Jody, you got to keep cranking.
She already did 4.5 hours, so.
I know. She did awesome. Have you guys not enjoyed Jody?
Oh. Thank you. Praise God.
Yeah, sister, I mean, as I read through your material, I myself was just significantly helped and encouraged. I was just like, oh my goodness, yeah, this is so applicable, not just to women, but to men, to all of us as Christians. It was so good.
Oh,
I'm so grateful for you.
Well, praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to open it up. Does anybody have a question for Jody or BJ related to some of the topics that we've been talking about?
Remember, no hard questions. Or I'll just go.
That's right. Yeah. Ask the hard questions because BJ's here.
Yes.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Yay, Krista.
It's not just for me. It's for friends and me. I think the tendency when we think about our words is to almost want to just not talk because I feel like I sin in my words.
Right.
More often than I would like. Mm-hmm. So, right, we all want to shut down.
Yeah.
But I know, I like what you said about our words are sanctification, too. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they reveal stuff about us, which makes me think even more I should just shut up. So how do you fight that temptation to just think, well, maybe I just shouldn't talk?
Yeah. I think there are times to think that, as we talked about, like lay our hands on our mouths, things like that. But if you think about all the one and others that we are commanded to do as we interact with our brothers and sisters in Christ, a lot of it involves words. And so we are to encourage, we are to edify, we are to instruct, we are to do all kinds of things that call for our words to be enacted. So, yeah, we pray a lot about what we say, and the Lord continues to sanctify us. By his grace, one degree to another, we become a little more careful, wise, restrained, but also using the gift of language in ways that bring honor and glory to him and edify others. We have to talk. You know, God made us for face-to-face communication. And so I've had plenty of times when I've got into an event and gone, well, I'm just going to be quiet because I know, you know, I'm going to talk. And it doesn't last very long. But by God's grace, you know, you just keep growing in using your words a little bit more carefully as he transforms our hearts. Pastor BJ.
I'm going to love just listening to your answers.
Oh, you just
Well, one thing I would add that's complimentary to what you just said, but it was in your material that I thought was so good. It was also on the receiving end, the importance of giving the benefit of the doubt, which we talk about that. So I was so glad to hear it from another source. Just assuming nothing concerning the other person and being hard to be offended.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And also kind of recognizing we just don't know what's going on in other people's lives. So as we're on the receiving end of communication, and we may feel like it's sharp, or we may feel like it's thoughtless, or we may feel like it was brief, and just assuming nothing about the person, right? Just assuming, well, I don't know what was going on there, but it's probably not negative towards me. Mm-hmm. And then also just kind of just assuming, I don't know what's going on in my sister's life. She may have just had a fight with her husband. Her 13-year-old may have just revealed something about something he or she is doing that's extremely troubling, and she doesn't want to talk about it yet. And it's just really bothering her, and she's just having a tough time even just having a conversation with you. So those things in addition to what you said.
Yeah.
Okay, another question?
At our table, one of the times we were talking about the tendency that women have to overthink conversations.
Yes.
You're nodding your head. And then you talked about, so in your middle talk, I was convicted to think about my words in terms of making sure that I'm not sitting with my words, kind of like what Kristen was saying. But then in your last talk, you talked about not overthinking conversations you've had about things that you've said. So maybe just talk a little bit about that balance. How do we not overanalyze what we've said, but then at some times go back and apologize for things we know were sin? Mm-hmm.
I never claimed to be consistent. I'm sorry.
I mean, don't the Proverbs say, don't cast your your pearls before swine?
Yeah.
And then another time it says something else?
Yeah, yeah. Just like the Proverbs.
Yeah. Or answer not a fool according to his folly.
That's right.
Answer a fool according to his folly.
Yep.
I can't even get it right.
But the pearls and swine, that's a good one too.
Okay.
I just have to think about what you said. again, you know yourself. You know if you overthink things or if you don't think enough. But as we grow more like Christ, full of grace and truth, those things kind of come into more balance, right? And so as we entrust ourselves to the Lord, asking him to guard our mouths, help us know what to say, when to say it, and then we grow in that kind of a sensitivity to the Spirit, and then we, I probably shouldn't have said that. I do need to go back to that person and apologize. I mean, we will sin with our mouths, but we cannot let that... We can't overthink that because then we'll be paralyzed if we're thinking too much. I think the freedom that we have in Christ is something we really need to celebrate, and that he is making talkative people more Christ-like. He is making quiet people more Christ-like as he brings us both together in grace and truth. So I'm not saying anything that is answering your question. Perhaps BJ can.
I don't have any additional wisdom.
I don't, yeah. So you kind of have to know yourself again. Am I thinking about this too much? Know somebody that can say to you, you are thinking about this way too much. That's a helpful friend or spouse.
Yeah.
Okay, another question?
Yes. Oh, good.
Okay, so you said something about we don't have to express every thought we have.
Yeah.
It may come as a shock to you guys that I'm asking about this. But I think that sometimes I have, like, thoughts or feelings, and I feel like if I don't express them, then I'm being deceitful. Or, like, if I keep them inside, I'm not being honest. But then I also run into, am I just unloading this on somebody to clear my own conscience?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know how to organize those thoughts of, like, I don't have to express every thought, but I don't want to keep in things that might be building or being deceitful because I'm in, like, those I feel like all contrasting, and I'm not really sure when to decipher what to do in which situations.
Takes a lot of wisdom and discernment. One thing I would say, and then we will hear from Pastor BJ, is that every thought doesn't need to be expressed, but patterns, things over time. If you notice something, if there's something between you and somebody else that happens recurringly, and this is something we need to address. So look for patterns and kind of long-term things. You don't have to just say everything. You're not being dishonest by not expressing every little thing that happens. But if there are long-term things that we keep having this misunderstanding, this is something we need to address, or I keep struggling with this, why is that? Then those are the things you need to take note of, maybe talk to the person or talk to a neutral party or something like that. So we don't need to handle every little thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah.
So I say it.
Yeah.
So I say it, and then I usually regret it.
I'm looking at you, sir.
Okay. Well, I guess when I think about oversharing, I just think, what's the relation? I think two questions can be helpful. What's the relationship and what's the situation?
That's good.
What's the relationship? Closer relationships, there should be a lot more freedom to overshare. And it's okay to let those noodles go through the colander of the filter, right?
Love that.
Yeah. Well, I got it from her.
Oh. Excellent, Emma. So
what's the relationship? The closer the relationship, I think the more free we should be and the more grace there should be in the gears of the relationship that allow us to misfire, miscommunicate, say things that may be dumb. Oh, I didn't really mean that, or I think I'm, and you figure it all out.
Yeah.
That's right. So what's the relationship? And then, and the relationships that aren't as close, you know, there's, you know, as the relationship goes out, in terms of less intimacy, there's typically less sharing, right? And that's just normal and natural. And then also, what's the situation? Mm. So, timing-wise, who all is around? Do you have actual time to talk about this? So, some situations are conducive to saying things and then working them through. Some situations aren't, you know? It's 2 minutes until corporate worship starts on Sunday, and it's your sister whom you love, but you don't know super well. How are you doing? Right? There's that question. How am I doing? And then you just think, and it's like, well, relationship situation, maybe not the best time. And it doesn't mean you have to divulge everything that's going on in your life to a person. I hope that's helpful in some way.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Okay, another question?
Hi. So I was kind of wondering about just growing in as an extrovert, not overrunning the conversation with someone who's introverted. And there are, obviously, we want to pray for growing in self-awareness and just discernment with our words, but are there practical things, like someone once told me, in a group setting as an extrovert, wait, 8 seconds before responding to let introverts, collect their thoughts. I didn't know if you had any like practical tip just to help with that self-awareness in like maybe a one-on-one conversation to not dominate the conversation.
Yeah. God has gifted extroverts to keep things going, and to welcome people and make people feel comfortable. It's a gift to use, but we need to use it carefully and wisely. And I think really time and space and just keeping things open, not rushing to fill in everything. I like the 8 second. That's good. The tell me more, the asking a follow-up question. Oh, well, what did you think about that? So that the introvert who is really smart and thoughtful and has good things to say, we give them space to say it. I don't know. Do you have any other suggestions, sir?
I don't. As a recovering interrupter myself, I'm learning.
I totally relate. Yeah, we need spirit-wrought self-control. I mean, I just something to pray about. And how can I love this person in this moment instead of thinking about what can I say?
Personally, I would just jump in. I would say that has been really helpful to me. Sometimes if I'm nervous about what I'm going to say, or there could just be all sorts of things going on in a conversation. I even prayed as I was driving up here. I was like, Lord, help the only thing to be on my mind to be, how can I be helpful to my sisters in Christ? So oftentimes when I'm in a conversation, even just a conversation with friends, I'm just in my mind, if I have my mind about me, I'm just saying, Lord, help me to be helpful. Help me just love this person. So sometimes it's totally cool to just joke and have a blast, and that's loving. And that's, other times it's like, I need to dial myself back some. And, Lord, help me to just be helpful.
Oh, that's good.
Another question? So what about the conflict-averse person who has to go into a conflict? So it's hard to say things that are hard, and but I feel that I need to say some things, but I'm afraid of how they're going to come across, or mm-hmm. maybe they come across the way I didn't mean them to. How, mm-hmm. I mean, how mm-hmm. can I prepare for a situation like that or not overanalyze it? Or
yeah. I have a couple of thoughts. I think being really prayerful, we need wisdom from the Lord to know what to say and how to say it. And we want to help the other person be prepared to receive it. Mm. So it, I have found this over the years in our marriage. It's helpful for me to say to my husband, there's something we need to talk about. It might be difficult to hear something, a little challenging. Let me know when would be a good time. Mm-hmm. And he has learned to come back when it is a good time, to not just let it go, because I really do need to talk mm-hmm. to him about it. And so I think of timing, preparing them, letting them be prepared, or, you know, to be prayed up or more open to receiving what I have to say. Mm-hmm. And then the tone with which you say it. Mm-hmm. And I also think questions are underrated mm-hmm. and we need to think about what questions we could ask to understand more what is going on in the other person's mind, why they said what they did, why they did what they did, more than coming in with accusations of assuming mm-hmm. I know what you meant by that, you know? Mm-hmm. So really seeking to serve the other person, helping them be prepared, helping, seeking to understand them.
I think also it's really helpful for me as one who, I hope you guys know this, I hate hard conversations. Like, sometimes I'm like, why did the Lord make me a pastor? Because I want to have fun. I want to be friends. You know, that's what I want to do. And the Lord put me in a direct position where he's like, I'm going to have you be the person who has to be the leader, hard conversation haver. And I'm like, really? And so it's been helpful to me to to remember the goal is not the lack of conflict. Mm. So like when I'm fearing a possible conflict from a hard conversation, the goal is not a lack of conflict.
Yeah.
The goal is growth in Christ. The goal is to glorify Christ. The goal is to mature in Christ. Mm. And that's not going to happen unless I do that. If the goal is just happy relationships, then that's not going to glorify Christ. And we're going to avoid conversations that we should have.
Yeah.
So I once heard it said that a pastor's job is to go around putting out conflicts that shouldn't have started and starting conflicts that need to be started.
Wow.
And I think that could be said just of a Christian, too.
Yeah.
So let's just remember our goal, sisters. Our goal is not the lack of conflict in the body. It's not to be fearful of a conflict, but it's to just think our goal is to love each other, to understand each other, to serve each other, edify each other, to build each other up, to give grace to one another, and that God might be glorified in the way that we live our lives with one another. So keeping that goal.
And sometimes that might be through conflict.
Sometimes, absolutely. Oftentimes it's through conflict. Just think about how many, like the way in which God grows you. He just tends to grow you through conflict. Yeah. He does.
Yeah.
And he also tends to mature you through conflict. And he also tends to reveal sin and oddities through, you know, because not all relational things are sin, certainly, right? So relational sin and relational oddities, he reveals that as we interact with one another and as there's friction with one another. So it's like we almost have to just chuck this idea or this desire for no conflict and just be like, I'm just in it for whatever the Lord brings. I want to love people, and I want to be gracious, and I want to forgive, and I want to grow. And hopefully we all have that mindset.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay, so my question is about suffering and how to speak to someone who's suffering. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like it's so tricky to know whether I should just be listening and just hearing them and just praying with them and understanding that they're hurting. Or maybe if I see that they're like headed down a not helpful path in their suffering, like when do I speak up and say something? Because it's really easy for me to, you know, say, hey, well, I definitely want to be told if I'm going down an unhelpful path, and I can, you know, I can take it. I may not always enjoy it, but I don't want to discourage someone who's mm-hmm. in the middle of suffering mm-hmm. by saying something. I don't know. I think you know what I'm saying.
I have a couple thoughts, but do you?
I'll start. And
thank
I'd love
you.
To know your thoughts. One thing to start is that I'm not too concerned with the immediate reaction. Mm-hmm. Whatever the immediate reaction is oftentimes just quite understandable. If we have a cancer diagnosis that comes, mm-hmm. or a kid that has been diagnosed with a significant health issue, or there's been a car accident, mm-hmm. or you just found out that your kid has done something that is shocking, just the immediate reaction doesn't concern me too much, and I think we just need to have a lot of grace with each other on, mm-hmm. on that point. And just be like, yeah, they're reacting. It's tough. You know, hug. I've got dinner tonight. Don't worry. We'll get that taken care of for you. Your home group will take care of that, you know. Getting together with them a week later to just say, how are you doing? Really, how are you doing? And then just really listen first. And know that they may still be processing. And I'm more concerned, as a pastor, I'm more concerned with the trajectory of the processing, mm-hmm. not necessarily if everything they're saying is theologically right or wrong, but are they moving on a trajectory towards God and godliness and trusting him in this thing, or are they moving on a trajectory toward believing and saying things about God that are not true? If I see the trajectory, kind of like what you're getting at about patterns, if I see the trajectory, that's when I'm thinking, okay, I do want to speak to this sooner than later so that they don't go very far on that trajectory. Yeah. Those are my thoughts. But I think that's one of the hardest and most sensitive things is you know, just suffering and how do we be gracious and truthful in suffering. Mm-hmm. Jody?
I love what you said. That was so helpful. Because we all, in the crisis of the moment, are a little crazy, just panicked. And so don't judge other people in that. But looking long-term, I think that is so helpful. What I read in a lot of things about helping people who are suffering is really to be pretty quiet, at least for a while. Listen, hug, pray, serve. But eventually you are going to need to get to some truth. And one thing that we did not talk about that I have found really helpful, it's another blessing of getting older, is that you have more of an eternal perspective. And that is a way that we can really encourage people who are suffering. One of my all-time favorite quotes, I think it's Thomas Watson, said, "Death begins a wicked man's hell, but it ends a godly man's hell." And that is such a true perspective.
That's a bar right there. That's what the kids would say. That's
a bar. I've never heard that. I am not cool. So, you know, for people who are not trusting in Christ, their life may be a piece of cake and glorious and wonderful. It will come to an end, and then there's eternity without the Lord. For Christians, life may be really, really hard. It may feel like hell for some people, or at least for some period of time. But it will come to an end, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever. And then there's eternity with the Lord. So I think we need to let that truth, it is a sure and certain truth, inform the way we deal with suffering here and now. And even when life feels so, so hard, it will be over soon. And we'll be with the Lord. So eventually, I want to get to that point of encouraging them with that.
That's so good. Tell Bruce, you know, that's a bar. Tell him that. That's when you say something awesome. Bruce, just say, that's a bar.
What in the world?
Okay. Not really. It's okay. I don't think it would. Okay.
Bruce would not say that.
Yeah, Bruce would.
So in session 3, you gave us multiple possible signs of fearing man too much and fearing God too little.
Yeah.
I wish I could say I only saw myself in one of these. But I am a people pleaser with a tendency to overcommit.
Mm-hmm.
So saying yes to someone when you know you should say no is something that I tend to do a lot.
Yeah.
And I think some of it is born out of pride. And just because I genuinely love to serve, but I also just overcommit. So yeah. I'm wondering if you have practical tips to combat saying yes when you should say no. And I'm also wondering if you have like any scripture that you tend to run to meditate on in this.
That is so helpful. One thing I would say to you is to think about the value of your time and living the time that God has given you according to the priorities that you believe God has on your life. And so does this request fit in with what I believe God wants me to do? And that will help you not jump into a quick yes. Ask for time to think and pray about it. You know, thank you for asking me. I'll get back to you in a week or whatever it is. Try to resist, especially the bigger it is. The bigger the longer to the term of the commitment, the bigger it is, the more cost it's going to be to you or to the people you live with. Just consider those things prayerfully. And does this fit in with what God has for me in this season? So you really want to think about the value of your time, because our time is so limited. It doesn't stretch. It's not elastic. And so if you say yes to this, you're saying no to a lot of other things. So just try to resist the quick yes, especially the bigger it is. I mean, text, I don't know.
I'm trying to think of like, would a particular text come to my mind? And I'm not sure if it would. It seems like when we're just in a realm of
wisdom.
We'll keep thinking.
Yes.
Well, and so another thing, just to encourage you, sister, I know that you're saying yes to a lot of really good and godly things. So it's not like you're frittering away your time on things that don't honor and please the Lord. It's more like you just can't say yes to every service opportunity, you know, to bless Christ's church and to bless Christ's people. So I'm just so grateful for your heart, right? And so to some of you, I want to tell some of you, hey, slow down. You don't need to be the one that covers that nursery slot that came up, the last minute sickness in the house, and they're putting on growth and grace, growing in grace, or growing in, what's the page name? I'm getting it wrong, sorry. Growing in Grace. So they post on Growing in Grace, need somebody to cover. And it's like the same three people or the same four people always say yes. So I want to tell those four people, stop it. No, I'm not on there. I'm a sleeper. So I want to tell those same four people, hey, stop. And I want to tell other people, serve.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
I want to tell so many sisters, it's okay. It's okay. You don't need to serve in that capacity, and don't feel bad. By the way, we always want it to be okay for the answer to be no to this service opportunity as it relates to the church. Mm. But we also want to just ask you the honest question, like, should you push yourself? Should you stretch yourself a bit? Should you say no to something else that you're doing that's keeping you from serving Christ's church more, right? And so it's okay to say no, but it's also good to think through your priorities. Mm-hmm. So are you saying no to good and godly things because there's other things that are less important that you're just swallowed up with?
Yeah.
Right? So there you go. I hope that's helpful.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other burning questions?
You're so...
Okay. Why don't we give our panel a round of applause?
For a panel.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Sharing your wisdom with us.
Thank you.